Welcome to the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship, located in Southeast Columbia at 3100 Trotter Road, where Norman E. Curley is pastor. Now, stay tuned for the Word Alive.
In John 14:27, Jesus said it like this: "My peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you, not as the world give it." How many know the world gives peace, but it's false peace? It's temporary peace. God gives what? Eternal peace. He said, "Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, and don't be afraid." So we know that Jesus Christ came to bring what? To bring peace. Now, how does this work? This worked because, first of all, between man and God, there was anger. There was the wrath of God on mankind because of sin. We were under the wrath of God. So Jesus came to bring peace between who? God and mankind. That's why Romans 5:1 said, "Now being justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." How did you get peace between you and God? Through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the mediator. He is the one that came to bring peace. In John 16:33, Jesus said this: "These things I say unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you." So what that tells me? That tells me that peace does not mean I won't have conflict. Peace does not mean that I won't have trials in my life. Matter of fact, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your conflict, you can have peace. How many know that is the great witness of the believer to the world, is that we go through some of the same challenges that they go through. Being a Christian does not exempt us from the issues of life. It's how we handle them. Sometimes the greatest witness we have is when we are facing a challenge, facing a trial. Instead of blaming God and getting angry at God, perhaps this is a great opportunity for us to be able to say, you know what? God is still good. God is still faithful. God hasn't changed. That's the kind of faith that gets the attention of the world. So Jesus came that we could have peace with God, and Jesus came so that we can have peace with our fellow man. We talked about that on last week, that there is a peace that God can bring within relationships. Remember, Jesus said, "Blessed," Matthew 5 now, "blessed are the peacemaker." Now listen to what the scripture goes on to say: "For they shall be called sons of God." Notice, they shall be able to be identified as children of God because we're peacemakers. Now, no Christian should be a troublemaker. Every Christian should be a peacemaker, because when the unsaved see how we come in and diffuse strife, and diffuse contention, and diffuse stuff on that job, and we bring peace to the matter, they're going to say, that's a child of God right there. Now, Romans 3:17 say, "The way of peace they do not know." The world do not know the way of peace. That's why we can't have peace in America between different factions and parties and races. That's why no matter what they do in the Middle East between Israel and the Arab world, they don't have peace. Because the Bible says they don't know the way of peace. The way of peace is Jesus Christ. What caused Christians to get along with one another in the church? Jesus Christ. If we didn't have Jesus Christ, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, how many know we'll have what? Strife? Contention? People don't like each other? People don't like other people's personalities? So Jesus is the source of peace that unify and rewards all parties. The second thing we said, Jesus' message of peace has to be received by faith and not feelings. When Jesus come and he preached peace to his people, how many know there are people who have unforgiveness in their heart, hatred in their heart, and they don't want to hear nothing about peace. Why? Because of their emotions. If anger is in your emotions, if hatred and bitterness, all this stuff is in you emotionally, those are negative emotions. Those are not demons. Those are negative emotions that we all have that can surface up. But if we hear a message on peace, guess what we're saying? By faith, I'm going to forgive this person. By faith, I'm going to walk in unity. By faith, I'm going to love this person. Not by feelings, but by what? By faith. So Jesus preached what? The message of peace. And the last thing we say, Jesus' entrance route into the throne of mercy must be celebrated. Jews and Gentiles get to come together and have access to one God by one Holy Spirit, all because what? They have peace now. And it comes through Jesus Christ. That was a great witness for the early church to see Jews and Gentiles worshiping together, because how many know, according to the law, a Jew was not to even go in the house of a Gentile. He was considered defiled and he had to go through some kind of ceremony. Paul did it. Paul went through this ceremony because they had claimed that he had been eating with the Gentiles and all this. And even though Paul knew it wasn't an issue, in order to keep peace with his Jewish brothers, he submitted himself to that Nazarite vow to go through that. All because what? He was there for peace. And when you're trying to be a peacemaker, how do you know, sometimes you got to humble yourself and submit yourself for the sake of peace. Look today and say, I'm a peacemaker. Now, don't say that now and go in the parking lot, then you out there making trouble. They can say, didn't you just tell me in church you were a peacemaker? Husband and wife get home and also they start getting kind of at each other. Wait a minute, didn't you just say you was a peacemaker? So peace is the power of God that brings reconciliation in our relationship with God, and it brings reconciliation in our relationship with other human beings, the peace of God. But there's another avenue of peace that has to deal with what I call the mental realm. It is where the power of peace becomes the mental weapon against the psychological assault, accusation, and anxieties that war in the mental arena of life. We often coin it this way, peace of mind. You ever heard that growing up where people would say that? I just need some peace of mind. Then people would take the word P-E-A-C-E and call it P-I-E-C-E and say, you're going to make me give you a piece of my mind. I mean, no, that was another type of peace. There are a number of methods and means that people are doing or use to try to get a sense of mental peace. That is peace of mind. Some of them are meditation. They take these things called breathing techniques, exercise, relaxation techniques, even medications. They call it healthy self-talk. They go see a therapist. Community, that means they start building relationships. And on and on and on, they employ these methods or disciplines to try to get peace of mind. Now, these are not bad disciplines in and of themselves. However, if God's grace is not factored in as a believer, people may get better, but they don't break the bondage. This is what I'm saying. See, when the world employs these things, especially when it comes to yoga and some of these mind things to try to, you know, get relaxation and to de-stress and all this stuff here, the missing ingredient to all of this is the Prince of Peace. How is this going to work when the Prince of Peace is not involved in the equation? That's the difference, because, see, God, in result, when it comes to a peace of mind, is not better, but breakthrough. God, in result, is not you getting, you know, relaxing for a moment and getting a temporary release from the stress and the mental anguish and the anxiety. God wants to give you breakthrough. He wants to give you freedom. Listen to some scriptures here in Isaiah 61 and 3. Listen what the Bible say about God. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. Notice the word mourn. The word mourn suggests these are people in Zion who are God's people, and they are in a state of mental anguish. They're in a state of anxiety. They're in a state of grief. So he said, God, appoint to those who mourn in Zion to give them, first of all, what? Beauty for ashes. Ashes were what people put on themselves when they were in mourning. So when people saw people with these ashes on them, they would know they're in grief. They're grieving. But the beauty was a crown that people would wear on their head. And when people saw the crown, they adored the beauty of that crown. So if you walk around with ashes, people are going to say, oh, they're in sorrow, they're in pain, they're in mourning. If you walk around with a crown, people are going to admire you. You're a person of what? Beauty. So the Bible says God comes, he takes the ashes, and he gives you a crown. Okay? It goes on to say, the oil of joy for mourning. In other words, the oil of joy makes reference to New Testament, the anointing. So God will what? Put an anointing up on you that even in your mourning, how many know you are not in despair? You are not in a state of mind where you are hopeless. He anoints you in the midst of that. So he gives you the oil of joy for mourning in the garment of what? Praise for what? A spirit of heaviness. All of these things, ashes and mourning in a spirit of heaviness, has to do with the psychological arena. It deals with mental anguish. It deals with anxiety. It deals with people who have panic attacks, who feel like they are suffocating, who's overwhelmed with life to the point they can't sleep. I mean, that's a real world. And that's a world where there are arsenals going off in the psychological realm, the mind. So God comes to do what? Make an exchange. Hallelujah. He gives you a crown for the ashes. He gives you the anointing for the mourning, the grief, the sorrow. And he gives you a praise for that heaviness on you, for feeling weighed down. Get this. Depression is a spirit of heaviness. And so God comes to make an exchange. Get this. That they might be called what? Trees of... Listen. God's going to change your identity. He said your identity is going to change when God put this on you. You're going to be called oaks. Like an oak tree. You're going to be strong. They're not going to call you weak. They're going to call you strong. The planting of the Lord, that he might be what? All this is about God getting glory. God is getting glory that no matter what you're going through, he will make an exchange. He will appoint angels. He will tell his angels, hearken unto my word. Go and take their ashes and give them a crown. Take their mourning and release the anointing of joy on them. Take their spirit of heaviness off them. Give them a garment of praise where they can dance and shout in my presence. God is not about us getting better. He's about us having a breakthrough. Listen to Psalms 3, verse 3 through 6. The Bible says, but thou, O Lord, are a shield about me. What's that? Protection. Now, you got to understand, David is running from his life from his own son, Absalom. Absalom has an army of men out to kill David, out to take his own father out. Why? So he can take the throne. But God had already told David, Absalom, your son, will not have the throne. Solomon, he's going to have the throne. Absalom was jealous. Absalom said, no, I'm going to get the throne when my daddy died. So he was out to destroy his own father. So David is running, and David declared what? The Lord are a shield about me. In other words, God's going to protect me. He said, my glory and the one who lifts my head. Notice, the one who do what? Lifts my head. What's that? The one who encourages me. The one who lifts that anxiety and fear off of me. That insecurity, oh, what if my son, you know, get his hands on me? The Lord does what? He lifts that thing off me. How many of sometimes people can't sleep because of what might happen down the road? He lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice. That means that he was praying. And he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000 of people who have set themselves against me round about. You know what he's saying? I went to bed. I had a great night's sleep. I woke up the next day and I realized, get this, the Lord protected me. That's what he's saying. In other words, it was a blessing just to be alive the next day. When your life is threatened like that and all of a sudden you wake up, praise the Lord, I'm alive. He got encouragement. He was strengthened. There are some things I believe that we can do to what I call maintain peace of mind. Saints, you got to have peace of mind. Glory to God. And I know we grew up and we heard that statement said sometime in the parenting role in the homes we grew up. I just want some peace of mind and all this. But God's going to show us how to get it and maintain it. Amen. Because you need peace of mind. One of the ways is we got to meditate on the word of God as an internal weapon of trust and transformation. Meditating on the word of God as an internal weapon. Notice, internal weapon of trust and transformation. That's why yoga don't work. You can do it. It make you feel better. But meditation is not, from God's perspective, designed to make you feel better. Meditation if God's perspective is to cause you to have trust in God, is to cause you to experience transformation, change. So we don't want to just be meditating to be meditating. We are meditating so what? So we can be a faith on the inside of us, confidence in God. And we are meditating the word so that God can get this, change us, not so much the situation. Because transformation is about me being changed. If you're a Christian today and you are not experiencing transformation, you need to ask yourself, am I really born again? Because every Christian is being transformed. The Bible said it like this in 1 Corinthians 3:18, we are going from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit brings what? Transformation. That's why when people get saved, you don't need to give them a bunch of rules. You don't need to start telling, well, you can't do this no more, you can't do that. Let the Holy Spirit be the cleansing agent of their lives. He will do it. Same way he does it in our lives, right? Meditation in and of itself primarily focuses on practices or techniques to train attention and awareness in achieving a mentally clear and emotionally calm, stable state. Research is yet pending on its proven effectiveness as it pertains to psychological, neurological, and cardiovascular or other effects. However, the goal of biblical meditation is to build faith, trusting God's ability as well as heart transformation. This change becomes an internal weapon of peace within the mental arena. Notice, it becomes an internal weapon of peace within the mind. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. I wanted you to look here because here, you know, the Philippians letter was a thank you letter. It was one of the letters where Paul wrote and is filled with encouragement because of what these believers were doing. They were sharing, they were giving tithes and offering. I mean, this was a healthy church. Paul writes to them a thank you letter. And so in the midst of that, something evidently started occurring in the church where the peace of the church was being challenged by two women who were in contention with one another. And Paul immediately began to address it because he noticed that if this strife between these two women in the church, now they were both in the church, working in the church, but something happened. We don't know specifically what happened, but whatever it was, it brought some contention. Paul was concerned about what? The peace of that church being disrupted by their behavior. Listen, you can have peace in your church, but if there's strife and contention in your church, it will rob your church of peace. So in Philippians chapter 4, listen at verse 1, Paul says this, therefore, my beloved and long for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord. Notice, stand fast where? In the Lord, beloved. Stand fast. Now, he's talking from a congregational standpoint. He's not just talking to one individual. So he says, stand fast in the Lord. That word stand fast means to be steady, to be, get this, to be solid in your church. Now, when people are steady in their church, it's like the example I gave earlier. It's like an anchor. They are set. This is my planted house. This is where God has called me. So no matter what happened, what? They stay steady. No matter what wind blow, they remain steady. And what's happening in the body of Christ now, we got too many Christians who get this now, are not steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know what? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything is what? In the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Paul said it. Be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding what? In the work of the Lord. In other words, don't keep quitting jobs. Don't keep running from assignments. Don't keep getting mad and say, I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there. Be steadfast. Be steady. I'm praying that every member of our church got a steadiness about them, a stick-to-itness about them. Yeah. That I'm in the Lord. I'm in the work of the Lord. I'm doing it for the glory of God rather than what's in it for me? What's in it for my children? Stand fast in the Lord. Now look at verse 2. I implore Eudia and I implore Cynthia, these are females' names, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now notice, Paul has said, these two women, I encourage them to get on the same page together, to get their attitudes right. Then he comes down in verse 3, and he says, I urge you also, true companion. Now, he used the word true companion. These are fellow leaders in the church. So he's telling the leaders who are workers, and these women are working in the church. He said, I urge you also, true companion, fellow leaders, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Help them do what? Help them work it out. Help them resolve this conflict between them. Help them get the strife out of the church. Why? Because it's robbing the church of its peace. And so when people have issues against one another in the church, how many know people should look for ways that we can help them do what? Work it out. You in Christ. Both of these women are saved. Both of these women are doing what? They're serving the Lord. Something happened. We don't know what happened, but it created what? Some tension and contention between them. Listen, listen. God wants us to get along with one another. So Paul tells them to do what? To work with these women to get this matter resolved. I mean, God can bring peace in relationships. Then he goes on. Notice he transitions now. He say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, what he's doing now, he's setting up the stage for what he's getting ready to say in verse 7 and 8, which deals with what? Peace. He's going to talk about how peace is to guard your heart and how peace is to impact your mind. And one of the things you got to do, you got to ask yourself, can I rejoice in the midst of what I'm going through? You got to start asking yourself that. There is room for rejoicing no matter what you're facing. There is room to say, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you are good. How many know you're just rejoicing, right? You're not rejoicing because of your pain. You are rejoicing outside of your pain. So he say, rejoice in the Lord sometime. No, he say what? Always. No matter what's going on in your life, always be willing to rejoice. He's talking to Christians. Let your gentleness or your moderation be known to all men that the Lord is there. He said, not only rejoice, but let your witness be seen by unsaved people that the Lord is at hand. That is that I am expecting Christ's return anytime. That is also that God is working this thing out, that God is present. So he said, let your gentleness, your kindness, your moderation be known to all men. Instead of complaining, instead of murmuring, instead of backbiting, you decide, you know what? I'm going to be gentle. I'm going to be kind. Then he said, be anxious for what? Now notice, where does anxiety come from? In the mental realm, right? People that tell me they have panic attacks, sometimes they're on some type of medication for anxiety and all this. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. Be gentle. Be kind to people. Don't get upset every time somebody may treat you a certain way and you feel like you got the license to go vent. The Bible says, don't render evil for evil. Overcome evil by doing good. How many know we got to practice this stuff? We know what the Bible says. Then he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Notice he connected anxiety with prayer. Don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything what? Pray. So if I'm praying, it helps me deal with what? Anxiety. Why? Because I'm trusting God. I'm casting that thing over to the Lord. Then he said this, in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and what else? In your mind. The peace of God becomes like a soldier standing guard over your heart. The peace of God calls you to maintain what? Mental fortitude. So the enemy can't rob your sleep. You are not stressed out because what? Prayer causes peace to be in my mind. Then in verse 8 is very important because he specifically lays out some things we can do to focus the mind. He said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, do what? Meditate on these things. What do we meditate with? Our mind. So Paul has said, okay, prayer, God's going to put some protection to guard your heart and your mind, but you got to be willing to put together some meditation disciplines and you focus your mind on the things that are positive, the things that brings virtue, life. And verse 9 said, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do in what? And the God of peace will be with you. You and I need to practice this. We need to ask ourselves, you know, this thing I'm thinking on, is it true? Now, we just can't say it is true. We got to run it through the whole grid. Is it pure? Is it a good report? Because sometimes people say, well, you know, I heard this by so-and-so, and it's true. But is it a good report? If it's not a good report, don't think on it. Don't meditate on it. So don't just run with one word. Well, it's true, and I got to, since it's true, Paul said that I need to make, no. He said, if it's true, but also if it's a good report. The second thing we have to do is magnify the truth of God's concern and care for you because you belong to him. We're talking about getting peace of mind. You got to magnify the truth of God's concern and care for you because you belong to him. Listen to Mark 7, 27 and 28. This woman, she goes to Jesus. She's not a Jew, but she goes to Jesus because she got a daughter at home that is demon possessed. And she runs to Jesus, even though she's not a Jew. And she asked Jesus to come and to help her daughter, to deliver her daughter. And the Bible says, he said, is it not right to take the children's bread and give it to the dog? First, let the children eat all they want. What Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying the covenant children, they are of greater priority right now. Saints, how many know you are of greater priority to God because you trust in him? He cares about you. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever news you get, how many know God is not trying to get involved? God already cares about you. He cares about everything concerning you. Why? Because you're part of the covenant family. Now, this woman had enough faith to tap into that anointing, and she got her blessing because Jesus saw her faith. Matter of fact, he said, this woman have great faith. And how many know her daughter got healed because she put faith in Jesus Christ. The greatest security and assurance we can find in the earth is not that which comes through human beings, but through an unchanging God who cares for us in our strengths, even in our weakness. He cares for us in our victories, even our failures. You and I will fail along life journey, but that does not change God's care for you. He cares for you. He loves you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your anxiety on him because what? He cares for you. A lot of people that have anxiety in their life, they deal with this. Do anybody care? What I'm going through, do anybody care? In Luke 10, 40, when Martha came and complained to Jesus about Mary not helping her with the work, the Bible says, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. How many know people get anxiety when they feel like they're not being treated right? People get anxiety when they feel like people have done things to them in their life and it was wrong and nobody held them accountable. How many know all that stuff can create what? Anxiety in people's life. But listen how Jesus responded. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and it will not be taken away from her. Notice, she said that she was upset and disturbed by the dinner. She's doing all that dinner preparation. But Jesus said, you are disturbed by a lot of things. Jesus read Martha's heart. She had a lot of anxiety in her life. She had a lot of things pulling at her. She could have had family problems. She could have had financial problems. She could have had, if she was married, she could have had marital problems. And all that stuff was bombarding her mind. And here she is, what? Trying to serve the Lord in the midst of all that anxiety. And Jesus stepped back and said, Martha, Martha, what's that? Love and care. He didn't rebuke her. He didn't even correct her. He encouraged her. In other words, what he's saying to her, you are so troubled by so much in life, but you need to choose to do what Mary is doing, and that is release yourself from all that anxiety and spend some time in my presence. The last one is this, minister with confidence in God's ability and anointing. Peace of mind is not the absence of activity or isolation, but rather serving God by serving others. It's here where God gets to work his grace through your life for the good of others and his ultimate glory. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor love which you have shown toward his name and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Saints, sometimes peace of mind is not when we stop doing stuff, but when we start doing stuff by the Spirit of God that's really enriching other people's life.
This concludes our time for this week's message from the Word Alive Radio Broadcast Ministry, an outreach ministry of Kingdom Builders Christian Center, a place of love, unity, and pure worship where Norman E. Curley is pastor. To obtain a copy of today's message, please let us know the date and time of the broadcast and forward that information to Kingdom Builders Christian Center, P.O. Box 9206, Columbia, South Carolina, 29290. Please include $7 for each CD request to cover the cost of shipping. Each Sunday, join the KBCC family for morning worship services at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evening worship services at 7 p.m. Children and youth ministries are available. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at kingdom-builders.com. Have a blessed week and join us next Sunday for The Word Alive.